Represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. It is the first Tuesday of the month, which means Miss Uhas.
Hello.
Which means Miss Uhas on the first Tuesday of the month.
It's the Laundry House Gang.
That is right. We have a rambunctious Laundry House Gang, I would say, this morning. But whenever you add Wayne Heimer or Craig Compo to any group, it's going to get overtly rowdy. Isn't that right, Craig?
What's Al Burrett? Chop liver?
He's a calm one.
He's a silent but deadly one sitting across from us.
Stir the pot.
So we have Mr. Mike Tinker, Mr. Al Barrett, Mr. Jen Uhas, Mr. Wayne Heimer, Mr. Craig Compo.
Wait, Mr. Jen Uhas?
I'm Ms. Jen Uhas. I was caught up in the moment, Jen. I apologize about that.
I'm a dude. It's okay.
I apologize. You're surrounded by dudes. So anyway, Mr. Tinker, what is on your mind this morning? Besides your thumb.
Oh, my thumb, yeah. Well, I want to just kind of comment that it was Marmot Day, Groundhog Day yesterday, and Mr. Heimer and I have the same idea that since we have groundhogs in the Fairbanks area, we have to kind of split that. We can't just go strictly with marmots. Today is an important day in the history of the Federal Subsistence Board. They're having one of the first activities. It's a conference. It's kind of a review of what they've become with regard to it. It's not just their decisions and whatnot, but it's their process and the number of people that they have involved.
But it's an open public comment.
It's an open public
meeting.
Comment. Yeah, and there were lots of comments. Stirred up before the pot, you were allowed to put comments in for a couple of months. I know that at least in the room here, Craig and Wayne and I put them in. I don't know, Jen, whether you got some in, but and many hundreds of other Alaskans and organizations from here participated. Hopefully, there'll be some serious listening too. I did have a good question I brought in, and hoping Al would show up this morning.
We always hope Al will show up.
Well, the Fish and Game Department just extended a moose season up in 22B, which is up at Golovin, Nome Peninsula area, White Mountain, because there weren't enough antlered bulls taken during the season. Now, we're going to go out and hunt antlered bulls now, or are we doing something else?
Yeah, I read the same EO, and their quota wasn't met, so there's still opportunity to harvest some more.
Yep.
There's probably a lot less mature bulls with antlers, but younger bulls will still have antlers on, so there's opportunity to harvest.
Yeah, and it was it looked to me like about half of the quota was all they got. So this is an opportunity for folks that are staying in Golovin, White Mountain out there, and there's a few folks between White Mountain and Council that are out in the outback. They'll have an opportunity here for the next month. It's all February.
Mr.
Harvest a few extra.
So 2 points on that. First, we moved really fast off that Federal Subsistence Board stuff. I want to get back to that. But do you know whose birthday it is today?
Whose birthday is it?
It is Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang's birthday, Department of Fish and Game. So if you're at a meeting or you see him, please say happy birthday to Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Doug Vincent Lang. Happy birthday, Doug. The Federal Subsistence Board meeting that's happening down there, the comment deadline doesn't close until the 13th of February, and Tinker noted that some people in the room, as well as others, have put in comments. Some real good comments to look at would be the Middle Nenana Advisory Committee. They put some comments in, individuals, but all of those are online, and don't worry about the website. You can go Google Federal Subsistence Board Open Comment DOI for Department of Interior, and you can read the comments that others have put in. If you're still familiarizing yourself with the issue and you want to put in comments but you don't want to leave some pieces out, you can see some really good comments there. I attended last week. There was a presentation online that Alaska Federation of Natives put on saying why they didn't want some things changed. And luckily, I was down in Juneau last week to visit with some of our legislators, but there was also an AFN reception. So I thought, well, I'll walk down there. Walk down there with Rebecca Schwanke, Representative Rebecca Schwanke from, you know, this side of the highway and part of Fairbanks, House 36. We walked down, said hello, and I actually got in a real good discussion with Jaylene Kukesh about her father, Albert, and her uncle, Frank, that was on the advisory committee with me, or on the RAC when I was doing the Federal Subsistence Board work. But I intend to have some follow-up with them that maybe just some of the ways that we've phrased it aren't too far off. They want representation, but you know, part of it is we just want to see this bloated program that we're duplicating our efforts. We're going to advisory committee meetings, RAC meetings. We're getting the same information. They're using the state data.
Same players.
And, you know, we're all busy enough that, you know, we're saying the same thing at these duplicated meetings. Some of it, we can't change ANILCA and what the state constitution says without different processes. So there's some interpretation that, sure, some folks may be trying to use this as the first step to dismantle more than that. Others simply want to see streamlined, efficient government. But the deadline is the 13th. The public meeting is in Anchorage today, but you can find it online and find those comments.
Yeah, Greg, what's on your mind?
Well, I actually sent in some comments. I'll read mine. So if somebody wants to know kind of some of the main points are, if they agree, they can send these in. We really recommend they get these comments in. Yeah, Jen's right. You have till the 13th. A little bit later, we can read off the exact website where you can send them. So get your pencils and pens ready. Anyway, I just said I've been living in Fairbanks for 65 years, hunt mostly the interior of Alaska, moose and caribou, fish the Chitna annually, as well as other rivers that hold salmon. I use all these resources to feed my family and have for decades. I feel strongly there's a lot of problems that with this dual management, state fed management, that's become intensely political, and we've kind of lost our way and failed to manage based on biological realities. And there goes my phone. Let me shut that off. Hang on a second. I forgot to click. Anyway, the system's been hijacked away from ANILCA's clear intent and language. I talk about how Fish and Game does a real good job with data, but the whole system's kind of been hijacked, you know, with our fish and game resources because of emotions and politics. And so basically we want to get back to relying on science and biology and not so much, but my grandpa did it this way and whatever, and just a lot of emotion in there.
And misconceptions.
So it's really, really important people send in comments. Let them know where you hunt and fish, how this kind of stuff affects you. And the bottom line I always tell people is, if we don't manage for abundance, it doesn't matter. We don't have enough to go around, it doesn't matter. In time of shortage, we already have rules in place. So anyway, that's my two cents. But in a few minutes, we'll have the exact website or where you can put in your testimony, but please do it.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We have the Laundry House Gang in the studio with me today. If you want to call in, bring up the subject, we're all here.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of snow today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Daytime highs approaching 12. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight. Lows level off around 2 above. Overcast. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the Laundry House Gang in the studio with me here. We almost had a brawl break out here, but that's cool. You know, I was putting my money on Miss Uhas.
Yeah, somebody was at Laundry House one time, and the look on their face, they were just astonished, and Tinker was talking, and I leaned over around him, and I said, he's not angry, he just talks that way.
Mr. Tinker, you're talking about federal subsistence there.
Well, and the Federal Subsistence Board, and a lot of people really don't understand the issue there. Whoops, I'm sorry, Craig. I'm with
you. You know, you guys, have you ever heard of silence?
You do now. Anyway, the issue is that they have built a duplicative system for a very small portion of the population, and they have made an assumption that the state would not provide for those folks out in the rural area as well as the Fed could. That's proven untrue also. And the real issue, the device, is the divisiveness of this thing. The having these two systems out there where one has the authority to exclude another. The Federal Subsistence Board has the ability to exclude Dave Pruse, because he lives in Fairbanks, from being able to hunt, fish, trap on federal land.
Live a subsistent lifestyle.
Well, or even a portion of a subsistence lifestyle.
The unintended consequence of that is the youth who comes to Fairbanks to go to college, or the young adult who comes into town to have a job, mm-hmm. That can't go back and learn their own traditions and can't help grandma fish.
Yeah, that's part of the guts.
Al, what are you thinking? Say it.
Part of that statement is not true, because none of that is enforced out there any day where your residency is. So that's just a squirrel. Personally,
I thought that was a groundhog. Oh, that was yesterday.
My whole issue with the Federal Subsistence Board has nothing to do with emotions or management, because neither one is looked at. It's all based on social issues. They don't manage for abundance. They don't manage for sustainability. All they do is manage for social acceptance.
Mr. Heimer, you wanted to tell us a story, add to a story.
I have a story about an elk I was steeped, you might say, in an elk. I was a happy sheep guy until an elk came along.
You know, that's a pretty sensual thing to say. I was a happy sheep guy.
I'm a very sensual guy. But the way it worked was they needed somebody. The feds were taking over fish and wildlife management on federal lands, mm-hmm. and the state didn't think that was a good idea, because it's not in our state constitution or property rights or anything else. So he said, well, we will sue them. That will fix it. So they looked around for somebody who was liable to be assigned to that job, and I drew the short straw. So I was in Anilka from the very beginning to the last 5 years of my career. I spent doing nothing but worrying about Anilka and feds and this and that and the other thing, which was a full-time job. But the way back when, you know, as we got into this business, the state, you know, filed a litigation with the feds. It went to the federal district court. There was a judge there named H. Russell Holland. Mm-hmm. And Judge Holland made what the legals figured was a reasonable construction of what was in Anilka, which was to say something wasn't in Anilka wasn't in Anilka. And as Anilka started out in the House of Representatives, subsistence preference was on a racial basis. Got through the House, went over to the Senate. Senator Stevens said, what? This is 1979. We don't do race anymore. So he changed it to be rural residents. And as it went along, there was this complaint that they really can't do that to us. And when it went to court, Judge Holland decided that if Alaska was going to be forced to discriminate between Alaskans, the feds were going to need one hell of a big hammer. The hell of a big hammer was taking over management of fish and wildlife on federal lands. And, you know, the point of that whole business was to force the state to discriminate between Alaskans. You know, there was some complaint about it, but the legal said, well, this is a reasonable construction, which means you interpret the law however you want. And it was interpreted as saying something it does not say. He was dealing with a principle of his own making rather than what was in the law. If you were to look at sections beyond Section 804, which is the big ooh-ah, we got to have subsistence section, Section 805, 806, and 07 say the feds will do absolutely nothing if the state passes a law of general applicability. Well, we did before they got around to doing ANILCA. The trouble is our laws of too general an applicability and doesn't discriminate enough against some Alaskans and in favor
enough
of others.
Enough to suit the Fed.
Yeah, well, it gets to be a morass of language and semantics, and so it's just terrible.
So, Craig?
Yeah.
Do you think if they change anything, it'll be in a good way?
You mean with this?
Yeah.
Well, it can't get any worse.
Yes, it can.
Well,
you know, the things that we're talking about here, though, are the principles and really high picture items, but there is an opportunity. Nothing will change for the better if we don't take this opportunity. And the opportunity right now is to comment to Department of Interior, a friendly Department of Interior.
Which is a nice change.
Which is a nice change on the pieces of the program that aren't working. And while many principles are not working for people, this specific opportunity, you know, the biggest thing I see from having also worked in the program is that it's a bloated program and so many pieces of it are unnecessary. And while those comments about the principles that don't work will be taken into account, they aren't the same as, you know, we're going through on the state level. The governor has AO360. We're looking at all of the unnecessary regulations. We're trying to streamline things and make things cleaner. It's very similar to this. There's ways that this comment period probably can't change all the magic things that people in this room might want to see. Changing ANILCA means changing ANILCA. Changing the Constitution means changing the Constitution. But how this program is being applied and whether or not it needs to look the way that it does. There was no board in ANILCA. You try to find it. That's a byproduct, not even a product, of the EIS record of decision to implement ANILCA. It could look very different. It could simply be consultation with tribes and others and the state and for the agencies to simply utilize the data they're already utilizing through the department process. And like Wayne said, it wasn't about, they didn't overtake management. They provided the additional opportunity, but this language keeps being pervasive over management.
I'd question that. In most cases, they don't provide any extra opportunity. And in some of the places they do, it's a false presentation. The Copper River is a good example. They allow you to start your fish wheel 2 weeks before the
fish get there.
Before Alaskans can start that are not qualified rural users, and you're exactly right. They don't do it. Nobody starts their fish wheel early because the fish don't show up there.
Yeah, it's a feel good. Well,
but
they can say technically that they do.
They
this.
Are offering more opportunity.
Yeah. One extra day on a bird hunt, one extra bird. Yep. You can have 16, I can have 15.
And Al's an expert on words and how they're used, whether it be shall and may and all. But like in the Constitution, when they wrote the state Constitution, Coghill and the others, I think the intent was very clear to them, but they didn't foresee massaging these words like we saw in the Sturgeon case, we saw with the Park Service. We see them, they get in there and they get focused on, oh, well, what does this word mean, right? Yep. And pretty soon we lose.
In our Constitution, it's Article A, Section 1.
Yeah.
Section 1, that says words mean what they...
My favorite.
Heimer gave us the definition of management.
Real quick, my favorite political cartoon is one where it's got John Adams and the founders of the Constitution, U.S. Constitution, are looking at the document, the draft of the document, and this is in 2009, okay? And he goes... Adams goes, you know, boys, I really think we should put something stronger in there just in case we elect a real idiot. You know, in other words,
yeah.
Let's think about what they're going to think about
later.
Dumb
it down for them and tie it up. Al agrees, with that, that we elected idiots.
So one other,
generally, it's not the idiots that get elected that make the changes. It's the judges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So didn't you recently have a board game?
Yeah, we were just got back from a board of game meeting down in Wrangell. We got back Thursday night. It was a really good meeting. There was a lot of discussion down there. It was probably one of the most one time that the board had probably more split votes than they had unanimous votes. So there was a lot of stuff going on down there. It's a really different place to have a meeting.
Oh, yeah. Wrangell. Let's go to Wrangell and have a meeting.
Yeah.
We're captive.
We're captive down there. But, you know, the communities down there and their ideology on how things should be ran and you know, how the department should manage is a lot different from other places in the state of Alaska.
How so?
Well, one, about 40 years ago, a group of people, bear viewers, guides, hunters, subsistence people, federal people, federally qualified people, all came up with this bear management plan for down in Unit 4. And there was a lot of compromise, and it came out as a unanimous decision by all the stakeholders that were involved at that meeting and however long it lasted. And it hasn't changed in 40 years. Even though the environment's changed, the populations have changed, people have changed, activities have changed. There was no, you know, we were advised by many people down there, and some of my really good friends even advised me not to mess with it because it's working.
There you go.
But, you know, when you have increased opportunity and there's no way to address this committee or team anymore because half of them are gone and there's no, they don't ever meet again. So there's no way to address that plan. It's just sitting there out there with no expiration date on and
no possible input because you don't have the people there on the board anymore.
And so, you know, I felt, you know, when I'm an opportunity guy, we have ample opportunity for residents to maybe harvest one grizzly bear every year instead of every 4 years, which is a insignificantly adds to the mortality of the brown bears. I like to provide that opportunity, but, you know, I wasn't able to get any of those passed in Unit 4.
Hmm.
And there's some other ones, but are you short on time?
No, you got another minute and a half.
Another one down there is there's no interest in increasing the goat populations down there, even though they have incredible goat habitat and unused goat habitat. There's no will by the communities or the department to increase the goat populations.
Do the communities not want people coming down there?
No, they want to be able to still harvest nanny goats. And in order to increase a goat population,
you got
to
have the nannies. Others, yeah,
be harvesting nanny goats. So everybody's comfortable with harvesting a nanny and then cutting the season off for everybody else. And I asked the question several times, even to the biologist, do you want to grow this population with all this extra habitat? No, we have a sustainable hunt.
Yeah, what Al's talking about here is the way the quotas are set up down there. In a given region or sub-region, you'll have a quota. The quota will be X number of goats or a nanny or two. So if you get the nannies, then you close the season.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a harvest just for them and no one else.
Oh, no. There's plenty of people get to harvest. There's non-residents. Okay. There's drawing hunts. There's registration hunts. There's lots of opportunity. It's generally, you know, most areas you harvest one nanny, it shuts the rest of the season down for everybody else. But, yeah, so you know, I got mine.
Yeah, you know. Once they get one, they shut it down.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We have the Isley brothers. We're going back to the future here. And we're going to have some Fox News, state news, commercial, and weather. And then we'll be in the purple padded room with Craig Compo. So I'm going to be doing hard time. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The House of Representatives has just passed a funding package that would reopen the government. So partial government shutdown is over. The spat here was over funding for the Department of Homeland Security. House Democratic Caucus Vice Chair Ted Lieu scrutinizing DHS operations.
Trump's ICE and Border Patrol interior operations are out of control. And not only did they kill two civilians last month, but you see continuing videos and stories of their abuses.
The U.S. military shot down an Iranian drone that aggressively approached a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
CENTCOM acted both appropriately and necessarily to protect our U.S. personnel and equipment in the region. So CENTCOM did make the decision to shoot down that Iranian drone.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports a 29-year-old Indiana man has been indicted by a Kenai grand jury following an investigation into online sexual exploitation of a minor that originated on the gaming platform Roblox, according to Alaska State Troopers. Troopers in Soldotna received a report on January 26, 2025, of inappropriate internet activity involving a minor. After a lengthy investigation, authorities identified Jacob Lamatier, 29 of Indiana, as the suspect. On December 3, 2025, a Kenai grand jury indicted Lemaitre on 7 counts of enticement of a minor and 3 counts of distribution of indecent material to a minor. During the investigation, law enforcement also determined that Lemaitre had sexually abused a separate minor in Indiana. As a result, two Alaska State Troopers traveled to Indiana on January 27, 2026, where they worked with the Indiana State Police and the Elkhart County Sheriff's Department to arrest Lemaitre and execute additional search warrants. The investigation remains active and ongoing.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey, it's Melissa. Can we be honest? Insurance can feel, well, overwhelming. For years, I stuck with the same company because it felt easier than switching. Then life happened. Our family bought a new car and the premium jumped so high, I thought it was a typo. A friend said call the Lowick Carroll Hubbard Agency, so I did. And I'm so glad I picked up that phone. Lois' team walked me through everything, found discounts I didn't even know existed, and now I'm saving hundreds every month. Don't assume you're stuck. Call the Lowick Carroll Hubbard Agency today. You might be shocked in a really good way.
My perfect day has sand, salt water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything.
Nothing is everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the #1 dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We're here with the Laundry House Gang. We have people doing things that are unique. Mr.
I forgot Bart, to give my disclaimer that, you know, my opinions of what happened down at the Board of Game are mine and not the opinions of the Board of Game. Thank you.
Fairbanks is tough on there. You know, I feel like I'm in a hearing with the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly.
That's what I was going to say.
God almighty.
I'm a fast learner.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about dinoramas.
Nanook Dam.
Dinoramas.
The Nanookosaurus.
Exactly.
House Bill 82.
Yeah.
By Representative Stapp. We are going to name and...
This is the cutest thing.
Talk about a... Well, you can tell us about it. A state dinosaur. Alaska needs a state dinosaur. I mean, besides... Urban Rehoy.
Okay, but this was a great civics thing that apparently a third grade class in his district as a project, they chose what they wanted the state dinosaur to be, and they gave a list of some things, and they said, you know, they wrote to him, third graders, so this was a civics lesson, and they asked him to please do this. And so you know, he looked into it a little bit and then picked the Nanookosaurus because, you know, Nanooks, and it was just the cutest thing. So he puts this thing in, and I was down there when it had its first hearing, and it was just... It was amazing. Somehow, you know, these two paleontologists up at the university who are rival paleontologists ended up in testimony before the committee, and now it's all on the record. It's getting all this attention. One thinks it should be, and they're battling over the science because the other thinks it shouldn't be the Nanookosaurus. And for him, it was just this feel-good bill for some kids that wanted a state dinosaur.
Yeah, sort of like 8 stars of gold on a field of blue, you know?
Yeah, you open the door and look what happens.
But these very serious scientists who've, you know, spent most of their work in obscurity, like now they're front and center arguing over the state dinosaur.
I'm still upset we tried to get the raven named as the state bird and get rid of this stupid ptarmigan. It all went back to a fifth grade class.
Yeah, ptarmigan are all
this dinosaur bill goes
ravens.
Back to yesterday and, you know, the marmot day up here. And Wayne was going to educate us about, you know, classifications and marmots and groundhogs and whistle pigs. And
I don't know why Frank Murkowski wasn't on the short list.
Remember, he did that disclaimer.
Did you run into Frank and Wrangle?
No, he wasn't down there, but there's a nice little a boat underneath a gazebo with some pictures of Frank and the family and Lisa. And it was really neat. I took some pictures of it.
Did you steal the boat?
No, I didn't have time.
Is the really, boat's name Rhino's dad?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Oh, we're on the air, aren't we? Sorry, Lisa.
No, you're not. No. Mr. Tinker, get us back to semblance here of, yeah.
You know, I made a list from all of the bills entered into this year's legislature for which ones had some resource orientation that would be of interest to the Laundry House Gang, because we usually look into these. And quite frankly, I don't know about the other guys yet, but I've had at least 5 calls from legislators already saying, what about this, what about that? And so it's, you know, when you get those kind of questions, you want to look in and see what on earth they're talking about and what the actual language in the bill is. So I just made a list. So that's what brought up this discussion this morning about the state dinosaur. But there's a whole bunch of them in here that need to be looked into. Al and I were talking about one earlier, that's the residency requirements for hunt, fish, and trapping licenses. Some changes there. That's by him shoot, by the way. And then there's a gun violence protective order bill in from Joe Josephson.
Andy Josephson.
And
he's out this year.
Yeah,
so
that's correct. And then there are quite a few.
What, is he not running for re-election?
Correct. He's already announced it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. There's happy people in this room.
Yeah.
You know, we're... That's a heck of a...
I'll miss the debates, though, so it's not all good news.
I will miss the free entertainment.
But there are some other issues as we go along. There are quite a few commercial fishing-oriented issues that deal with everything from finances to setting gill nets. In here, the Board of Fish membership I'm talking about House Bill 125. That's Jimmy's, not Louise Stutz, who has her conflict of interest commercial fish on Board of Fish in again. And then you go on and on through these things. I don't know, Al. Maybe you know about 177. That's Elam's bill on Board of Fish, Board of Game meetings.
Nope, haven't read that one. I got consumed in HB 93, the residency
one.
You
stopped there, huh?
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's just so much misinformation going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's an interesting one here that has some background I haven't researched yet, but there's a Senate bill and a House bill. The House bill is 135. That's from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Commission. It means they're working on the meaning of seafood. And I don't really know what that's all about, but my guess is it's extended to their responsibilities, and they want to get a meaning in there that includes some things that they're either doing or anticipating doing. We'll look into those. We'll get back next month, Dave. We'll bring in some more data on some of this stuff.
So, Al, since you're on the border game, would you classify seafood as both a freshwater and a saltwater?
No, I wouldn't. I'm under the assumption that seafood comes from the ocean.
Saltwater.
From the sea.
Saltwater.
Apparently there's some salt in there. I'm a border game guy.
Okay, what if something's anadromous or catadromous? And so if you have a commercial fishery in a river and it came from the sea but it's in fresh water, it's no longer, salmon's no longer a seafood?
Yeah.
Exactly, in my interpretation. You catch it in seawater, it's a seafood salmon. If you catch it in fresh water, it's a freshwater salmon.
What about those that fish in mouth?
On the tide.
Yeah.
Now, there are some interesting ones. Hemshoot's got one in also.
Jan, I love mixing it up with getting Al on record here. He's not afraid to go on record and piss everyone off.
Al spill one.
Give his opinion.
Here's one that you guys can play with. This is the invasive species management bill that Hemshoot has in 191. And I have no idea where he's going with invasive species.
That's a she. And she, then, so read the number again. Because I've got these up, and it's not showing up in the list here in basis on fish and game both, so I'd have to see. It's probably with the little invasive species task force, then it turned into like an... I'm going to guess it's probably doing the... It's not a full board.
That's what I'm guessing, too.
Yeah.
They're working on either a definition or expanding or possibly asking for some activities by this outfit. We'll take a look at that one. There's one of the
It's already formed, and then it already had guidelines. It just wasn't state funded.
So, go ahead.
Isn't that the department's duties or responsibilities? I believe they interact with the invasive species and have people in charge of that.
They have one person in charge of it, and they have one dedicated person, and then there's this ad hoc group that has met that, you know, is like representatives from soil and water conservation districts, representatives from the feds and the state and local communities. It looks like we're getting ready for a break, though.
Yeah, but I'm going to say one thing before we go to the break. I'm glad we have Jen Uhas in this room for the technical detail that she provides with all of our questions that we bring up.
What she politely said is we have duplication.
Exactly. And but she knows her stuff. And, you know,
she's reading it out of her phone, Dave. Come on.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I've got a feeling we'll be giving you some blow-by-blow details of the Laundry House Gang's interactions during our commercials. But we will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crossgree specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with a slight chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 12. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow, lows dip down to about 2 above. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm the Laundry House Gang in the studio with me here. Before we go back to our subject of the paleontologist fight. I'm going to ask y'all, like I always do, what outdoor activity would you do in the month of February? And I'll start with Mr. Tinker. Now, you did an indoor activity where you almost cut off your thumb, but do a safer outdoor activity.
That was the garage, if you don't mind. Yeah.
That's almost, yeah. You know.
It's one of the things that everyone in Fairbanks area can notice now is when you get up in the morning and you crack the curtains, there's some light coming in. So we're getting a lot longer day. So it's time to really get out there and do the type of things, even if you're just working around the neighborhood. I would prefer actually to start fishing again. I'd go ice fishing now, it's especially right now where it's so nice and warm, and get out and you have enough daylight to get out there and not have to drive in the dark both ways like to Birch Lake or something.
And December took care of ice thickness, right?
Yeah, so that's the ice thickness is plenty good. You can run your D8 out there.
So Al, I've been told.
Al, what's your thought?
Well, I'm going to be running my trap lines and getting caught up on that mess. A lot of snow, a lot of breaking trail. But I also recommend, the ice fishing thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have any ice fishing gear like augers and ice fishing poles and buckets and lures, you can pick all those up from the Department of Fish and Game Office, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, you can rent them or just buy them or you get them.
And just
is that the one on College Road?
The one on College Road. And, there's excellent ptarmigan opportunity up on the highways.
Miss Uhas.
So they took my ice fishing, but I'm gonna put so
and if, your ptarmigan.
If you're military, you've got the morale locker. Mm-hmm. If you're off base, you've got fish and game and the Chena Tool Library, who we've had on Problem Corner before, and anything that has to do with winter trails, because Brother Campo and I were just put on the RTAC, used to be the ORTAB, whatever. It's the Trails Committee. That helps to distribute the funds so that we can maintain our trails and
statewide.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we just made some motions last week to say, hey, let's move this stuff along. We don't want to let contracts in March for snow trail grooming, so let's get that money out there. But go out and utilize those trails and check out the classes online. Just go to alaska.gov, hit the Fish and Game tab, and then hit education. You can see there's cross-country skiing, there's fur sewing, there's stuff happening right now.
Mr. Heimer, what would you recommend?
I am afraid I have to get after the squirrels again. I see they're running about and doing their thing, and that occupies me. But I have a sort of hall of antique snow machines that I kind of keep running, and it's time to do some sedate snow machining.
Mr. Campo, what's your idea?
Well, I went caribou hunting with Eric Spitzer a week ago Sunday. Is the season? Did they fill the quota yet?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I heard about the story on your show.
Yeah.
Bye, Jan.
We were unsuccessful. We could see the caribou, but between the 3 foot of sugar of cold sugar snow and the trees getting in the way got too thick. And we got a little overflow. We had some fun down in the valley. So
You should have called them in.
I'd like to maybe go back there. There was a bunch of them a little bit further than we were. We were down the road. We found out later. But how it happens. You see 20 on the hill, and you go, ooh, those, we could probably get to those.
How do we get up on that hill?
Yeah, it was tough. And I had my super wide track. I got all the way up there, but trees just get too thick. You know, you just couldn't find a way to get around them. And so they got away. They sat there and looked at us. So caribou hunting.
Fairbanks, I have two choices for you. The first choice involves the Campo family. Mm. I would go to the White Mountains with a skidoo, and I'd go up the Campo Trail Complex there and snow machine and enjoy myself. It's getting that time of year where you can go do that for fun. Is that right, Craig?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful trail. I don't know. It needs – that's part of what we're on this committee is there's areas that need to be maintained that we have nice trails, but – you can't see them for the brush that's in the way. So some of the areas get pretty thick there. So I'm a big proponent of let's fix the ones we got before we build a long trail or something that has potentially a...
Wash your mouth out. Yeah. I think the vegetation part or problem is more toward the Chena Hot Springs.
Al wants to jump in here. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, don't you find it odd what he just said that, you know, that the Campo Trail, which is not a traditional trapping trail, is getting overgrown and, and it needs maintenance and somebody's got to pay to go get it done versus when you allow somebody to trap and not bother them.
That does it like you were going to clear your trail.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that maintenance gets done. Well,
them motorheads.
Yeah, you have an incentive there.
Yeah. Now, Craig, before I go to my second choice, yeah. I got the question for you is, Now that you sold the Snow Machine Skidoo dealership, what year of Skidoo do you have?
25.
That's what I thought.
You haven't read the contract yet, have
you? Yeah, yeah.
So well, I have a 65 and a 25.
Okay.
The 65 is on display for public, for the public, but the first, that was the first year they didn't have wooden skis.
Ooh. Yeah. My second thought for everyone, stay in town, go to the corner of First and Lacey, bring your ice skates and hit the starter block for the ice rink there and then do that. So anyway, those are the Fairbanks, you got some good opportunities
the
here.
The mayor still allowing ice skating down there?
you never know what Mindy Mondami is going to be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, and snow lately, so she could, you know, didn't have to worry about stopping the snow plows or anything like that.
You never know.
Bill,
but you see, that is taken care of. That is, you know, I gave operational oversight to Festival Fairbanks. So it's they're the ones who take care of it. They're the ones who maintain it. They're great, great, great people.
Dave, may I ask these three gentlemen, I guess, and Jen stepped out, a trivia question?
Do it.
Okay, so this has something to do with what we talked about, but my favorite president, Ronald Reagan, his top five accomplishments, this will come back to what we're talking about, all good for Alaska, most all good for Alaska. Ended the Cold War, Reaganomics, tax reform of 86, appointed the first woman Supreme Court justice, and his economic growth. Okay, so now what was the worst decision Reagan ever made that affected Alaska? It has to do with something we talked about today. Yeah. No?
Sign in the Fed, ANILCA?
No. Good guess.
Craig, what is it? We're spellbound.
He appointed somebody named Hezekiah, was his first name. Hezekiah was his first name.
Yeah.
The rest of his name was Russell Holland.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the worst thing Reagan ever did for the state of Alaska.
Holland, had a dozen cases that had to do with Alaska resources in there, and he was bad for us.
I guess I got to bring up the politics of the judges with our two U.S. senators not agreeing on what type of judge to appoint. We've had two openings for a number of years, and finally – Trump has said, okay, I'm taking Sullivan's pick here. You know, Lisa didn't like it, so he just went, sorry, Lisa, but I'm just going with Sullivan. What is the status of our second one that he's trying to appoint that, you know, you have the blue slip, the blue ticket between the two U.S. senators from the state of Alaska, and why aren't they agreeing on the type of judge that we want in Alaska?
I suspect because they don't agree on too much of anything.
Well, Dan Sullivan, since his first election, has had a particular policy of asking judges about how they might approach Alaskan issues, and he has a half a dozen examples he used. I'm not in what I remember from talking with Senator Murkowski about that. I'm not sure she does anything like that. I think it's more of an impromptu type of thing where she just discusses whatever issues are at hand that day. And you know, a lot of the issues they don't see eye to eye. They don't totally disagree, but they have different orientation, different direction they want to go. So my guess is that, you know, Sullivan is closer to what Trump is trying to accomplish than Lisa is.
And Aaron Peterson is an excellent choice.
Yeah.
I've known him for several years. He used to be the attorney for the – still is kind of the attorney for the Board of Fish, or works in the AG's office, I should say, still. The difference is just pure in emotions and philosophy. I mean, pretty much from what I read in the newspaper, that anything Trump does is Murkowski is anti-Trump, and there's no gray area for her. So there's no compromising with anything that Trump does.
You're telling us
that
she has a Trump dementia syndrome.
Well, I mean, that's your words. I couldn't think of something
that. Well, you described it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You described it for me, so.
The one thing Mike mentioned is true, too, and one thing that Dan often asks, or almost always asks, candidates or people that are about to be appointed or going to they're nominated is how they feel about the Sturgeon decision. And if they don't know enough about it, he says, well, you go back and come back. I'll interview you when you know about it.
Come back and talk to me again.
Yeah, and I really respect
that. Because that's such a basic question.
You should know going in.
Of course.
So, Craig, on February 17th, me and you were in here with the trivia. Do you remember that?
I do now.
Okay. You know what day that also is?
The third something? Well, I know. What is that day?
Well, besides being the third Tuesday of February, it's the beginning of the Lunar New Year. Come on, man! You got to know your Chinese zodiac stuff.
Yeah.
the third day of February is the start of the rut for the wolf breeding cycle.
Mm. All right.
That sounds aggressive. So, gentlemen, how does a person come out and visit you for your Laundry House Gang meetings? Mr. Heimer, you want to give us a little overview?
You should be very careful to start with. We meet at TVSA on Wednesdays at noon. Bring your own lunch if you want to eat.
Isn't that off Boat Street?
It is off Boat Street, right on the no.
Right near the Compo's indoor RV site for resting winter vehicles.
It is. It's a comfortable place to be, and it's a may not always be a comfortable place to experience.
Yeah,
but it's a. You can find out stuff there that you didn't know.
You know, this is what I tell every person who's running for a political office statewide. When they talk
Why
about,
are you doing that?
Well, there's that. But once they say they're going to do it, and it comes to resource management, I say, go out Wednesday to the Laundry House Gang, and whatever they say the policy should be, that's your answer. Simple as that. That's your answer.
The definitional things that Dave and Wayne are talking about a little bit is the Laundry House Gang, we're generally between 15 and 30 people coming, and there are many more on the mailing list that we keep track of. But any given day, there will be 1,000 to 1,500 years of Alaskan experience in the room. And
just Mike and Wayne.
Yeah, it was both me and Wayne, and then the others add in. But people can come in, and a lot of our, especially younger politicians, Dave, you've certainly seen this with the city type of thing, will ask the question, where did this come from? Why are we in this situation? And with the gang there.
It's because of a reasonable construction.
Yeah, right. But I mean, we can usually get an answer or get people pointed in the right direction to where to go find an answer for their issue.
And you know the other great thing about it, Dave?
What's that?
Free parking.
Indoor or outdoor?
Outdoor.
Outdoor parking. Yeah. Oh, man. Mr. Tinker, last comments for about 15 seconds before we end up?
No, I think it's time, even so with the first of the year, to thank you, Dave, for having us in once a month like this. It's important to be able to get this out, and it does come back. We talk to people during the day that say, yeah, I heard you on the radio this morning, and they like listening to the gang, and so we appreciate the opportunity to come in and do this and invite everybody that is interested in the resource bases and things that are happening out there. Come on by some Wednesday and see if you like us. We don't have a secret handshake. There's no dues or anything like that. You're welcome to come in, have a cup of coffee, and sit in with us.
Mr. Big Al, any?
Oh, I didn't think he left any of that 15
seconds. You got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, the only thing I have is I've never been to TVSA off Boat Street. It's always been 1-2-3 TVS Way.
Ooh, Mr. Heimer.
I have nothing to add.
Mr. Compo.
My dad named Boat Street, by the way.
That was a slap at a Compo there. Oh, my God. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow, I will have Joni Skillbred on, and she had to do some stuff last Wednesday, so we have her tomorrow, and you have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.